Good morning and welcome to the Democracy for Oregon Summit and the DFA Training Academy, Day 2. Come in here. You did great. The fact that you're here is outstanding. You're doing the first, you're following the first rule of democracy, show up. So I want to thank you for that. So without further ado, I'm going to bring you your, Willie spoke first yesterday, and that was what, a double frappuccino with whip? And chocolate sprinkle. So we need our double cappuccino now. Our Secretary of State, Bill Bradbury. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Woo. So, and then as soon as I stand up, my double cappuccino arrives. Yes. So it's a great pleasure to be here. I have to tell you, you get an award as truly dedicated people to democracy, because you know what? It's Sunday morning at 8:45.
Yes.
Now, I have to tell you that I started today, I got up about 6:30, and I watched TV at 7. And an amazing event took place, the implosion of the Trojan nuclear power plant cooling tower. And I think that's a great symbol for Oregon. We're done with that, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to be real interesting as we move forward and start to use things like wind power instead of the Trojan nuclear power plant.
I have a quick question. I'm kind of curious how many people in this room helped shut it down.
Oh, I don't know. How many people here helped shut down Trojan nuclear power plant? A bunch. All right. So, it's just really great to be here, and I'm really glad all of you could be here, because clearly many of you have been activists for a long time, and many of you are, in addition, are really seeing the need to step up and be activists and carry on the tradition of those that have come before you. So I want to start this day by thinking about civil rights. Voting is a civil right. Voting is a constitutional right, it is a fundamental right, and it is a civil right. It's a right that people have fought for, that people have marched and sung and shouted and died for. It is really the most basic element of democracy. Voting, our most basic, most fundamental, and most treasured right, is now under attack. Voting is under attack by people who claim that non-citizens are swarming our voter rolls. Voting is under attack by people who think that government identification or a biometric thumbprint should be required before you're allowed to vote. Voting is under attack by corporations who sell touchscreen voting machines that don't work. And you're going to hear more about that after I'm done this morning. Voting is under attack by intimidation and misinformation, by selective voter roll purges and polling place confusion, by long lines and low turnout. To all that, I say, send me my ballot!
Yay.
Oregon is leading the nation in a revolutionary new way to vote. A way to vote that protects voter rights and encourages voter participation. I ask you to help me bring this method of voting to other states. Washington, California, Arizona, and Colorado have all taken steps toward vote by mail. Ohio, New Mexico, Hawaii, and North Carolina have all shown an interest in vote by mail. I ask you message. I ask you to help all of the voters in all of those states say, and let's say this all together, say, send me my ballot. Now, let me back up and talk first about non-citizen voting. Now, it's true that only citizens are allowed to vote, and I agree that only citizens should be allowed to vote. The hubbub about non-citizen voting is a distraction, a red herring, but it's part of a concerted strategy to make it more difficult for legitimate citizens to vote. So, I urge you to think logically about the issue of citizenship and voting. So let's start with the voter registration form. The voter registration form asks whether a person is a citizen, and it's a Class C felony to falsely answer that question. Class C felonies, just to remind you, are punishable by fines. They're punishable by imprisonment. And if you're an illegal immigrant, they're punishable by deportation. Now, ask yourself whether it really makes sense for an illegal immigrant to attach their name and address to a form that they send to the government that is prima facie evidence that they've committed a Class C felony. I don't think so. So, you know, that's easy to say, but let's go for some facts. We also know that in the 2004 gubernatorial election in Washington, there was an election between Christine Gregoire, who's the current governor of Washington, and Dino Rossi, who was within 100 and some votes of being the governor of Washington. And it was the most closely scrutinized election in history because it was 3.5 million votes cast and a margin of 129 votes. Pretty close. And officials and activists on all sides of this question researched and recounted every ballot, and they did 3 recounts in Washington. And how many non-citizens do you think they found voted in that gubernatorial race in Washington? 0 non-citizen voters. Not a single one. Those numbers just don't lie. And those numbers show that non-citizen voting is not, N-O-T, not a significant problem. Now, there are alarmists that would require you to show your passport or your birth certificate in order to vote. And they claim that this would limit fraud. But really, ID requirements are just another way to prevent people from voting. And because of the time it takes and the money it costs to get these documents, I believe that it is an unreasonable burden on your constitutional right to vote. Under the Federal Help America Vote Act, beginning this year, people who are registering to vote for the first time are required to provide an identification number. It's either the number off their Oregon driver's license, or if they don't have a driver's license, it's the last 4 digits of their Social Security number. Now, this is a major change for Oregon and a major change for many other states. This is an extra hoop to jump through before a citizen can register to vote. And this is where the effort to add extra hoops to make people jump through has to be stopped. That's it. Stop there. We have to follow federal law, and we have to get a driver's license number or the last 4 digits of the Social Security number, but we cannot go any further toward making it harder to register and vote. There are those, not surprisingly, there are those who disagree with what I just said. Around the nation and here in Oregon, there's a vocal minority that would like to dramatically restrict voting by requiring voter IDs and proof of citizenship prior to voting. In the past three legislative sessions, I have fought against attempts to make it harder to vote, including attempts to require identification and proof of citizenship. Let me just ask you here, how many of you either have your passport or your birth certificate with you today? We got one, we got two, we got three.
17.
Great! So, if I'm doing a voter registration drive, I could sign up three people if we had these new rules about voter registration. And the rest of you, sorry, can't vote. Too bad. So, when you think about it, it costs between $10 and $45 to get a certified copy of your birth certificate. It costs $20 to get a certified copy of naturalization papers. And it now costs $85 to get a passport. And it can take weeks to get any of these documents. So, how many of you want to pay the indirect poll tax that this documentation would require before voting? How many of you would like to pay that tax? No, I don't think so. Now, since we've seen no proof, absolutely no evidence that non-citizens have been trying to vote, the question posed by ID requirements is not whether only citizens should vote, but whether only those with extra time and extra money should vote. When you make it more difficult to register and vote, those that get excluded are the oldest, the youngest, the poorest, minorities, the disabled, and those who have difficulty speaking English. And that's exactly the point, isn't it? Because the people that want to make it more difficult to vote know that these are exactly the people that will be disenfranchised, and that's exactly their goal. So let's talk for a minute about who are these people that will be disenfranchised. A Wisconsin study found that nearly one quarter of people over 65, a quarter of the people over 65 have no ID. A quarter. Okay? The U.S. Department of Justice found that blacks in Louisiana, Ray Nagin was reelected today as mayor of New Orleans, the Department of Justice found that blacks in Louisiana are five times less likely than whites to have ID. Five times less likely. Now, Georgia. Georgia has 159 counties, and they only have 56 places to obtain the ID that you need to vote there. They've instituted a new program that requires you to get a new ID. 159 counties, 56 places where you can get that ID. Very interesting fact, though. None of those places where you can get that ID are located in Atlanta. What's the biggest city in Georgia? Atlanta. You can't get the ID in Atlanta. So, these are the kinds of things that clearly show that if you're poor, if you're elderly, if you move often, or if you are a person of color, that these voter ID requirements are designed to disenfranchise you. People like to argue that we have to show ID to get on a plane. They say, hey, well, what's the big deal? You have to show an ID to get on a plane or to drive a car. And voting, they say, is just as important as those activities. I agree, voting is not just as important as driving. In fact, it's more important. That's why voting, unlike driving, is enshrined in the Constitution as a fundamental right. A right that everyone must have access to, a right that is not just for those who can afford it, not just for those who can pass a state-sponsored test, a right that is for all of our citizens. Hey. I left my phone in my car because I don't want those kind of things to happen. And I do have to say, I haven't chosen that kind of a ring for my phone. So. But I could. But our right to vote is under attack. So I say, and I think we all say, send me my ballot! With vote by mail, we comply with federal law and check the voter's driver's license or last four digits of their Social Security number once at registration. We do not require that voters prove their existence over and over again at every election and every polling place. With vote by mail, we limit the burden of ID requirements because we believe that everyone should be afforded the opportunity to vote. Our right to vote is under attack by corporations who sell touchscreen voting machines that don't work, touchscreen voting machines with new and unproved technology with no capacity for a hand recount, shiny new machines that the voter is just supposed to trust. I don't trust those touchscreen machines, so I say, we all say, send me my ballot. With vote by mail, we have an automatic paper trail with original ballots that can be recounted by hand. With vote by mail, voters can have confidence in election outcomes that can, in fact, be proved. Our right to vote is under attack by intimidation and misinformation, by selective voter roll purges and polling place confusion, by long lines and low voter turnout. So, I say, send me my ballot. With the new federally required centralized voter registration system, selective voter roll purges are a thing of the past. In Oregon, no one will ever receive more than one ballot. And because ballots cannot be forwarded, our voter rolls will stay probably the cleanest in the nation. With vote by mail, voters are not scrambling all over town searching for the proper polling place, only to find a three-hour line when they finally find the polling place that they're supposed to vote in. With vote by mail, there are no poorly trained poll workers misplacing ballots and misdirecting voters. With vote by mail, voters can vote at their own convenience, on their own timeline, and with whatever information they find useful. With vote by mail, frankly, voters are more likely to vote. And what about fraud? And what about that nostalgia we feel for a civic moment at the polling place? And what about secrecy and coercion? To that I say, send me my ballot. With vote by mail, the voter is in control of the ballot. I don't believe that voters will seek out coercive environments in which to fill out their ballot. They just won't do that. I give voters a lot more credit than some other people do. With vote by mail, the voter can decide to fill out their ballot in complete privacy, and or they can ask people they trust for information, or they can Google the races they're not familiar with. Vote by mail lets the voter be in control. With vote by mail, nostalgia for a polling place can be replaced by new forms of civic connection. Peers can gather and discuss issues during the voting period. Parents can use their ballots as a teachable moment with their children. Civics can be a public or private issue, whatever each individual voter desires. With vote by mail, we have the strongest possible safeguard against fraud. The signature check that we do on every ballot is the strongest safeguard available against fraud. We make sure the signature on the return ballot matches the signature on the voter's original voter registration card. And if it doesn't match, then we contact the voter and get the issue resolved. It's much, much easier to commit fraud at a polling place than it is to commit fraud through the mail. In nearly a decade of statewide vote by mail in Oregon, I can count on one hand the instances of fraud that we've experienced. So I say, send me my ballot, and I know that my vote will count. Attacks on the right to vote are not new. Discrimination and disenfranchisement are not new. But we have to be newly vigilant. And we see that vote by mail is a new part of the civil rights movement. And we've been joined in that understanding by the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, NAACP, very much supportive of vote by mail now. But we have to take a stand against ID requirements that are designed to prevent participation. We have to protect our ballots from untrustworthy technology and put voting back in the hands of the people. We have to demand again that everyone have equal access to our democracy. So I say, send me my ballot, because democracy begins at home. Thank you very much.
Into it. But thank you, Secretary Bradbury and his staff of health.